Now, instead of our usual final segment called Out and About, we'd like to play back some of the highlights from previous episodes. Our very first guest was Susan Ryan, who was Australia's first Age Discrimination Commissioner, who told us about attitudes to ageing in Australia.
Well, Australia is very ageist, and what that means is that as people get older, they notice that suddenly, instead of being taken seriously for whatever they are, whatever they've done, whatever they're doing, they're suddenly put in a little stereotype box called an older person. When I was at the Australian Human Rights Commission, I had conducted our first national research project into ageism, and we found that it was very widespread. And it's very damaging to older people to be treated in an ageist way.
Australia's first female member of federal parliament, Linda Burney, agrees with Susan Ryan, but told us that things are different in Aboriginal culture.
I think that's very true. I don't think Australia or Australians value older people like they should. I mean, I'm Aboriginal, so within Aboriginal culture, age does bestow on you some very great things like knowledge and maturity and understanding, and you don't become invisible. But I think in the broader community, that's certainly the case.
Just a little less attitude, Boomer. Just a little less attitude coming from the people who need to be shown five times how to use Apple TV. Okay, is that all right? Yeah, you millennials are idiots. Now, do I press the source button? Is Stan on Netflix, Tom? Is Stan on Netflix? Does the TV need to be on? Of course it does! Come on, mate, you went to uni for free. You figure it out.
Claire Mason from the CSIRO researches the social impact of technology in Australia. This was her message to older Australians coming to terms with the rapid changes in information technology.
I would just say that the technology doesn't determine our future. It's really up to us as human beings to decide what we're trying to achieve and then how technology can help us with that. I think it's really important that none of us feel passive, like that we are personally going to be disrupted by technology so much as empowered.
We had some wonderful guests, including local boy Graham Auntie Jack Bond, who talked about his childhood right here in Marrickville.
Steel Park was an open garbage tip, and Gary and I used to go down there in the afternoon, and for our pleasures we'd go through the garbage tip and find ourselves a couple of good mattresses, a couple of good old Kapok mattresses, take them down to Undercliff Bridge and sail them along Cook's River until they sank. But the great thing was that we actually didn't know that we couldn't swim.
Australian comedian and author Jean Kitson related her recollections of panel vans and drive-ins.
Going to the drive-in, hiding people under the mattress in the back, always hiding people in your car to get into the drive-in, backing up to the drive-in screen, opening the back of the panel van, or lying there drinking vodka and ouzo in paper cups, Chico rolls, Dim Sims, chips. That's what we did for fun. There was nothing else to do as teenagers. We just sort of drank and drove.
Local girl and Australian Olympic swimmer Dawn Fraser revealed a secret. She is a lifelong fan of the Phantom.
You know, I sort of loved the Phantom. I just loved his comic books. For my birthday presents, my daughter used to give me comic books, and they were always the Phantom. And now my grandson, Jackson, every time I have a birthday, I don't have a birthday, I have a birthday party every 10 years, I don't have a birthday party every year. They usually go and find some Phantom comic books I haven't got, and that's what I get for my birthday presents.
We also spoke about ageing, retirement and keeping active. Inner West Council's Joint Senior Citizen of the Year, Jude Stoddart, summed it up well.
One of the things I found about retiring, and you were talking about loneliness, is that you suddenly find yourself at home. And I think, well, you know, I used to be out 12 hours a day working, you know, what do I do? And it took me some time to work out a bit of a structure in my life so that I could actually keep going and keep things. And I found it was as important. I had to be slightly encouraged into physical exercise. It was not one of my great things I've done all my life. You know, I spent too long in the office. And And so I've taken up sports, and I go twice a week to a great seniors fitness group, and it's an hour and a half of fitness twice a week, and it's such a great group of people. It's good humoured. You know, we joke that we've only got one good body between us all, but actually it doesn't stop us doing a lot of things, and I feel a million times better for it.
Rampaging Roy Slaven himself, John Doyle, made his exercise preferences very clear. You don't slip on the Lycra and get on the bicycle?
No. Walking and tennis, Jeff. Yeah. That's the answer.
My parents told me they want to buy a caravan recently. Oh, you love a caravan, don't you, Boomers? Boomers look at all the houses there and they go, gosh, just not enough houses here. Is there a way my car could be a house? Just driving around. Hey, millennials, check it out. Beep, beep, pretty cool. I'm living in my car like you, but different.
And I may have managed to antagonise one of our former High Court judges by bringing up his age. Michael Kirby, you're 80 now, and...
Did you have to mention that on public audience? Oh. I'd like people to think I may be about 60.
Perhaps our most popular and joyful episode was Sex and Relationships as We Age. And when I asked our expert guest, Bettina Arndt, whether sex doesn't just stop when you get older, this is what she had to say.
No, of course not. There was a famous author called Alex Comfort, back in the 1960s, I think it was, wrote a book called The Joy of Sex. And he said, the things that stop you from enjoying sex in old age are the same things that stop you from riding a bicycle. Bad health, thinking it's silly, and no bicycle. And I think that sort of sums it up.
And our studio guests, local older people Beverly Baker and Lorne Hyde, just reaffirmed Bettina's point.
No. Who would want it to anyway? It changes, certainly changes. I remember of a very old joke, what are the three stages of sex? It's tri-weekly, spelt tri with an I. Tri-weekly, which is tri-weekly, yep. And the other is tri-weekly, which is weekly with a double E. With an A. So it's tri-weekly.
Yes,
and I think that's probably true. As you age, things don't necessarily work as well, but your emotions, your feelings, those things remain intact.
And you still have desire?
Absolutely.
Absolutely gets better as you get older. I don't know, you've ever heard the saying, older the violin, sweeter the music, or older the buck, stiffer the horn. You know, it's got to be fun. It's not quick. It's not, let's get it over with. It's not that sudden release because I got to have it. It's this wonderful relationship. It's this wonderful sense of togetherness. It's this, it's not rushed.
Bettina made her own very frank and amusing admission when sex in relationships much later in her life came up.
I mean, I remember in my own case, when my first relationship after a long marriage, my first relationship when I was single, and I was very nervous about that and so on, and this lovely man was just being very careful and comfortable with me, and eventually we were on a long walk and I joked to him and said, I'm going to need the WD-40. It's so long since I've had sex. And he said, never, don't worry, I'm a very patient man. And it was such a good answer.
We also spoke about Australia's cultural landscapes with well-known older Australians. John Bell had this to say when we spoke about the time when Australia's iconic play Summer of the 17th Doll was made into a film in 1959, and all four leads were played by Americans.
That was a dreadful thing. The greatest Australian play. It's a timeless piece, and it's a wonderful play. It still resonates. And to see it turn into a movie with all American or English actors putting on fake Australian accents was insufferable. Of course, that could never happen now. We have our own film industry, and there's no way you'd get a Hollywood or English actor to play those great Australian roles. So we have come of age.
On a happier note, Susan Ryan spoke about her joy listening to Australian pop music while still a schoolgirl.
Oh, well, I was a beach girl, and I can remember being down on Maroubra Beach when I was about 15, and Johnny O'Keefe turned up. Rock and roll was very new to us then. We it was something we saw on television from America, which was also a rare experience. And Johnny O'Keefe turned up in a gold lamé suit and sang this song, Shout. And it really was. The whole beach just gravitated around him, and we were all jumping up and down and shouting. I'd never done anything as a good, you know, convent girl. I'd never got on like that in my life. But it was fantastic. And that sort of exciting music was great. And it was there on our own beach. We didn't have to go to America. I mean, it was there. And again, with little Patty, when she came along with Stomping at Maroubra and so on, she was a local girl. And imagine hearing a rock song with your own suburb's name in it. Like, that was hugely exciting, and we just loved it.
And this is what former West Australian Premier Jeff Gallop had to say is his favourite Australian pop song of all time.
Well, it has to be Easy Beats, Friday on My Mind. And it's not that I was waiting for Friday, although I was, because I love the weekend sport, but I love school as well. It's just that it was such an important song in the 60s. And the band, of course, too, became legendary all through Europe. They were young migrants. They came to Australia. There was the Dutch contingent, the Scottish contingent. It really reminds me of the 60s. And whenever I hear it, I think of my days in Geraldton. It brings it all back.
This has been the final episode of this series of The Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century. You can listen to episodes again by going to radioskidrow.org and searching the SoundCloud box to the right. You can also go to babyboomersguideor1word.com.au for complete episodes, individual segments, and additional material and links. This production was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Find out more at cbf.org.au. This program was produced with assistance from Lex Marinos and Raul Hernandez in the studios of Radio Skid Row. I'm your host, Jeff Orlow. Thank you for listening to The Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century.